Meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission for Wednesday, April 13th, the order. Before we get going, everybody, please do me a favor and take your cell phones and set them on stun. And if you could all stand, let's say the Pledge of Allegiance. Please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, please call roll.
Tom Wyszynski.
Here.
Tom Gosdecki.
Here.
Anthony Broadnax.
Here.
Ron McCarron, absent. Debbie Long.
Here.
Dave Castellanos.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker.
Present.
William Baker.
Here. All right, moving right along. Next item is the approval of the minutes from March 9th, 2016. Is there any modifications, corrections, motions? What say you?
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion. We approve those minutes.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We'll always be out there for folks to hear what we're doing. Next is the chairman's report. I guess that's me. Thanks for coming out again. Getting to be the season. So every month, less and less people come to the meetings. I wonder why. So always start with regards to the board that is up there showing some of the pictures of what happened to our community in September 2008. Obviously, Mother Nature has a huge impact on things like this, but we're responsible for a $275 million man-made asset that, like anything else man-made, if you don't take it into consideration and need some maintenance and some attention, things like that start to happen. So we tend to have a devastating effect like that on the community to make sure things are getting taken care of in the manner to which they were designed. The Army Corps of Engineers, through the federal government, through the Army Corps of Engineers, put this thing together. Local match is the group sitting in front of you. With the help of the community, we go through and try to now have an ongoing funding mechanism to make sure the things are going to do exactly what they were supposed to do based upon how they were engineered by the Army Corps. That said, you know, Mr. Repay meets with the communities every month to make sure that everybody's on board, because if in the course of an event, if Mother Nature gives us 10 gallons and we have a 5-gallon bucket, we're going to have some issues. So we're going to have to be ready in case that happens. Let's knock wood, everybody, that it doesn't happen. But in so much as we were able to finally get this thing finalized, certified, we were able to move 1,400 properties out of having to pay mandatory flood insurance requirements, which totals close to $4 million. Well, it does equate to $4 million a year that gets put back into the community, to which is true economic development. So these are ongoing issues. Obviously, the entire watershed is now part of this project, so everything that flows down into the Little Cal has an impact on all of us, and I think those pictures are reflective of what that means. Enough for my stuff. Let's keep moving forward. The finance report, we need the approval of the claims for April 2016. These amount to, still no cheaters, $367,538.36. Is there a motion to approve these?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the claims.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
And there's a second. Mr. Repay? Let's talk about them.
Okay. So we'll go through the larger claims, and bless you, and we can go through, I'll try to go through as many as I can and explain them the best I possibly can. The largest one by far is the $152,833.50 for the sandbar modification project. As you can see, or the handout that we gave you, there is only $54,718, bless you, left on that project. If you've driven by there, the blankets are all out. The ramp, both getting into the river and outside of the river, is complete. We planted, as per the specs, 137 trees, which is the riparian corridor for animals and other like things to grow. We straightened out the river, and overall, I think it turned out very well. And Hassie had some hiccups, but that was because they're working inside the river and the river rises. So hopefully, and you can see the grass is taking in that area, and my hope is the trees and the bushes do as well. So that's that one. The $50,000 one for the town of Griffith. Although I have no backup, I'll do the explanation for everyone here in the audience. When we went for funding in 2012, the Griffith project was a lot like ours, where we did not have, or they did not have, any operation and maintenance money put into their project. So although it was constructed, there was no way to maintain it. And during
that was a federal project too, right, Dan?
That was correct.
Okay.
And so as a part of the legislative process, the legislators said, we would like you to help them maintain this so we can just kill two birds with one stone. That's my words, not theirs. And so it came to the point where to maintain it, to cut the grass, to make sure that it's up to par, we then reimburse them $50,000 so long as they pass their annual inspection. So they pass their annual inspection. I have the report for the annual inspection, and so this would be the reimbursement for them to pass. Now, if they weren't to pass, we certainly would not be reimbursing them that dollar amount. Dawson Associates are helping us with crediting. We're moving along on some of the crediting, especially the real estate. I'm not going to even take any credit for it. Jody put together the packet for the administrative charges for the first quarter of 2016, and we're working on the Garcia charges for both the the NDOT levy or NDOT easements, the parcel acquisitions, anything, that map that we had that they demonstrated 2 months ago. All that is credible, and we are submitting that for credit, which means for every $1 we put in, we get three federal dollars, just to be sort of as general as possible with everyone. Sweeney Electric for pump station electrical work. When we acquired the Burr Street South pump station, that was limping along. They did some work for us initially just so that we could feel somewhat confident in it working in rain events. Unfortunately, 2 weeks ago or last Monday, that went out and we had to get it fixed again. So it shouldn't be that much. It should be just a couple hours worth of work, but that is now working. And later on this meeting, we'll be opening bids for hopefully the final time for the final fix for this station. So any other ones I'm trying to go through here that reach out to me?
All right, well, how about we reach out from this end and see if there's anything else. Is there any other questions for Mr. Repay as it relates to these claims? Are we done with Hassie and the sandbar?
There's only $54,000 left, which is extra fill, and then the retainage, which is 10% of the contract that we maintain so long as it is put in correctly. I do want to talk about Superior Engineering really quick for the backup generator. We will have that hopefully, I think, advertised going after the May meeting, potentially for a June opening. So we'll put that on our website. So they have all the plans ready, and we'll be advertising for that here shortly. So we'll then thankfully have this backup generator at the Burr Street North. So that's another major claim that we're coming to a conclusion on. And I'm sorry, if you have any other questions.
Anything else up here, gentlemen, lady? Be there none. Motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert, let's do it. Roll.
I have a question for our legal counsel.
Okay.
I noticed the discrepancy in the numbers, in the total the represented amount. Can we just make a motion to approve the itemized individual costs without a total?
I'm sorry, Tom. You're saying that $367,538.36 is not the number when you add them up?
We're not sure.
We're not sure because what I'm determining is that I received an early copy of the claims, went through, verified everything was on there, never did total them, I guess, which maybe I should do going forward, but then there was a modification made between the time they were released, there was a couple changes, but the changes that are reflected don't seem to make sense with the new totals.
No, and then I added another, the other per diem, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The only addition and subtraction was one per diem and a removal of Columbia Lock and Key. Columbia Lock and Key was $94.
$96. Yeah.
Okay. And that's what we, and the reason why was they had locks there. They're a small business. We decided just to go pay them as opposed to waiting for a check in the time that it went through. So that was the probably discrepancy. And I apologize. We try not to change on the fly, but in that case, we did.
And I missed it at the review. So.
That's okay. That's my fault.
I think under those circumstances, the motion to approve the claims would be appropriate.
So I'll remake a motion to approve.
It's been a motion and a second, I think.
Correct.
All right.
And a little more discussion. We're going to omit the $500. Is that true?
Yeah, if you want. You can make the You'd have to make a motion to amend before you make a motion to for the final approval. So at this point, Tom, or Commissioner Gazecki, if you want to make a motion to amend out.
You want to leave it in or you want to leave it out?
This is the discussion.
Well, I'd make a motion we approve the claims, and then we'll make an amendment to our initial motion that we approve the claims in the amount of $367,000, $538.36.
That was the original motion.
I'll leave it in.
Leave it in. So the original motion, is there any other discussion?
There was a second to the motion, I think.
Correct.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we had a discussion. As well.
Correct.
Okay.
As
oh my goodness, we're losing it, Jody. Roll call, please.
Tom Wyszlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnicks.
Yes.
Debbie Long.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right, next is Mr. Repay's Executive Director's Report as it relates to what's going on along the system and in the watershed. Mr. Repay, have at it.
So first and foremost, and I'll let Mr. Rochford talk about it, but we have started the inspection process for the levee system for 2016. We began on Monday morning. We began at Arbogast and the river. We worked our way to the east as far as Martin Luther King, and then we turned around and are heading now some of us are heading to the west. Today's project or today's goal was to do the NDOT gates as well as inspect what we call and what Bill's called the bow tie. Best name that I can think of it right now, and they're heading now back to the west on the north side of the levee. So for these 3 days, that's what we've been doing. They've been walking a lot. I've been driving a lot. Not a lot of walking for me. And so hopefully, or the plan is to have it complete by Friday. All the gates have been inspected throughout that part. Right now, it's just up to the levee team to walk to make sure the animal burrows and other items aren't affecting the integrity of the levee. We are doing pump stations during the May period of inspection. Since this system is so large, we've decided to split it up into two separate weeks for everyone's well-being. So on May 9th, which is the next segments that will be inspected, and that will be May 9th, will be Munster. May 10th will be Highland, and then 11th, 12th, and 13th, if necessary, is Hammond. So after that is complete, we'll be done with all of our inspections for 2016. It's a lot of walking, a lot of working, and you know, so far things seem to be going okay. So that's number what we're doing this week. What projects we've got going on still is the culvert and video cleaning that we've given them notice to proceed. So they'll be working with NDOT and Hammond and Highland to work on. the cock joint repair that we have awarded to Grimmer was complete last week. That was along Hawthorne and just in time for the inspections on May 9th. 35th Chase design. I went to the Gary Board of Public Works this past Wednesday for approval for not only that, because we're going to have to do some soil borings, but also for the detour and the work on Georgia Street. So because we're going to have to close down Georgia Street and do some detours, we needed Board of Works approval, and they granted that to us. So Walsh and Kelly, we signed the letter to proceed today. So they have 20 days from that period of time to start. So I'd imagine May 1st, you'll see Georgia being complete. Well, that's the raising of it, and then the repaving probably back to 35th Street. So that road will be looking in pretty good shape after that. Harrison Avenue Bridge, working on the contract language, backup generator I've already spoke to on it, and then, excuse me, what was I going to, I lost my place here on my little slide here, the Burr Street South and the Burr Street South Station, as we talked about earlier meetings, we have advertised for bids for companies to come in and fix that station. We know that's going to be a little on the expensive side, but it's something that needs to happen. That station went out again on us last Monday, so put a few dozen houses in jeopardy of causing them issues. Levee paving should start as well, and then, you know, certainly we're doing the ever-popular crediting on this side, and beyond that, we're doing the manhole rehab, should also begin soon. So pretty busy. If we add into this Burr Street South fix, along with the grass cutting, which will be now that the sun has finally decided to shine, with all the water out there, I'm sure it will start growing quickly. So other than that, I don't think I'm missing anything.
Okay.
You have a question.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Repay and what's going on in the project?
What is the extended length of the number of days for Georgia Street?
It's 120 days is what they have given them in the contract to do, with, I think, an option of 30 more. It has to be substantially complete in 120 and fully complete in 150 days. So I don't think it's going to take that long, personally, but, I mean, we're just throwing the stone down and raising it, and then it just... regrading and paving. So,
what's the estimated start date?
They have 20 days from the notice to proceed, and I signed it today, so okay. I'm going to guess May 1st. Yeah. I mean, the Board of Works admonition to us was we approved it based on all you have to do is get your permits or whatever, pay the controller for the permits that are necessary for the project.
Okay, and my reason for asking is because of the school bus traffic and whether or not notification was given to school district.
Yeah, we had to submit the detour plan and all the plans for public safety and everything, so that they had to approve that plan as to alternate routes to get to and from everything from public safety to schools to everything, and make sure that they were notified.
Okay. I think Levine covered my question, which was what was the Gary Board of Public Works comments. So
they approved it with our submissions of the detour plan.
Any other questions for Mr. Repay? I'll deviate a little bit. Mr. Rochford from the Army Corps of Engineers, Mr. Padilla from the Army Corps of Engineers, welcome. Bill, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
You know, it's always nice to see you this time of year. Is there anything you'd like to say to anything about what you've seen, do, have, said? Here it is. Because you'll be brought to the table again, I'm sure, later.
I will. Oh, I'm looking forward to it. All right. Thank you. I'm here mostly to introduce Mike Padilla. I'll give him a quick tour of the site tonight so he gets more familiarity while he's being acting project manager for this work that's pursuing. As Dan mentioned, the inspections are underway. We're doing pretty much all the levees and sluice gates east of Klein Avenue. That's underway right now. As he mentioned, we're going to come back in May to do all the areas west of Clinton Avenue up to the state line, and then also all the pump stations will be inspected at that time as well. So everything from reports I'm getting from our teams in the field, everything is looking pretty good. There's certainly some manhole control issues to be dealt with and some minor vegetation, but everything is looks like it's really well maintained. So I appreciate that, and thank you to the commission on that.
Pretty cool, since the first time we all met, huh?
Yes, absolutely. I appreciate the efforts that you all put into this.
Thank you. All right. Anything else then for Mr. Rochford, Mr. Padilla, Mr. Repe, as it relates to what's going on in the field? All right. Next item, moving right along. Other issues, new business.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to open the bids for the First Street South Rehabilitation Project that we just spoke about, an award to the lowest and most responsive bidder, pending review by attorney and staff.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repe, under discussion, brief overview. Do you want me to hold it? Do you want to, you mean to sing for everybody while you open the bids?
No, just what we'll do, I guess what we could do is just have me open it, and then when we get down to, if I have them all open by the time it becomes statements from the board, I can maybe announce the what is perceived to be the lowest.
Okay, so there's a motion and a second, and that was discussion. Is there anything else? Be there none. Mrs. Lambert?
Tom Wyszynski?
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki?
Yes.
Anthony Broadnax?
Yes.
Debbie Long?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. Giddy up, Dan. All right. Other issues, new business?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Every year we get towards the spring, we got the mowing issues. I want to make a motion that we go ahead, Dan, advertise for bids, give the executive director the authority to go ahead and open the bids for periodic levee mowing and award to the lowest, most responsive bidder pending review by the attorney and staff.
There's a motion to open bids for cutting the grass. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? I don't think we need to discuss opening the bids, but I'll put it out there. Because that's part of Robert's rules, right, Mr. Wicklund?
It is.
Okay, so just want to make sure Robert's telling me what to do.
One item of discussion, and that was in terms of our advertisement, I think we had some discussion, and I think it's prudent on our part to make sure that we cover as many media outlets as possible so that we can make sure that we're getting a true reflection of the media outlets as it relates to Northwest Indiana, newspaper outlets, so that contractors that are prudent about actually performing the work and actually have the opportunity to perform it and actually may frequent a different newspaper source than what some others may frequent. So that's my comment, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir. Anything else? Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnax.
Yes.
Debbie Long.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
No.
William Baker.
Yes. All right, moving right along. Another business.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that would allow us to continue our farming efforts on the land that we own. And extend the farm lease agreements that were in place for 2015. We're going to make them valid through 2016.
All right, the motion is to extend the farm lease for some of the land the commission owns, the people own, and grow stuff on it.
Second.
Is there a second? Second. About how many acres is that, Mr. Repe? I should know that. We've been doing this for a while, but I can't remember. 200?
I think it's
400.
400 acres.
Okay. And you know, we don't really deviate from the Indiana thing. It's corn or soybeans.
As long as I've been here, it's either corn or soybeans. And the last 2 years have been soybeans. So I'm thinking it's like the roulette wheel. I'm going to go ahead and put it on corn.
That's right. All right. So, and then just for everybody's edification, we look at it, you know, depending upon the yield, it's based on that. And how much is it, Dan? Anywhere from what? Give me a range.
Talking $14,000, $17,000, depending on what they get for bushels and the yield, if it's not flooded.
Commodities. Got it. Any questions, comments on that? Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnax.
Yes.
Debbie Long.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution 2016-01, which is the establishing of the commission's credit card policy.
Second. There's a motion and a second as it relates to credit card policy, to which, by the way, I don't have one. Mr. Wicklund, why don't you give a brief overview of that policy?
The State Board of Accounts...
That's the policy. Baker doesn't get one. I like it.
Recently, during State Board of Accounts audit, it was noted by them that we did not have a credit card policy, although we had a couple of credit cards that our people used. They suggested we have a policy, we put one together, and that's the subject of the resolution.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions or statements on credit card policy? Either none, let's put the clamps on the credit card. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnix.
Yes.
Debbie Long.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes.
You make it sound like it's
all right.
Out of control.
Is there anything else? All right, one thing I'll just make under this new business before we go to statements or the floor is, as we do more and more projects, you know, the advertising meets all the criteria that's out there, but in lieu of just having one or two outlets, we're going to go down the list and kind of explore the option and the expense of all of the outlets. So not everybody listens to one station or reads one paper, so we get that. So we just want to make sure everybody has the opportunity to get a chance to see what's going on. We're also looking at now putting all of those notices onto the website. So for the 8 people that go to our website, listen to this fine demonstration of democracy, they'll also be able to find what's going on as it pertains to the projects that are available. So that being said, if there's any other issues, I'll go down the line. For new business, Mr. Wicklund?
Nothing to add.
Mrs. Long?
Nothing to add.
Mr. Wyszynski?
I would agree with what the chairman just said about making sure that we explore being out there in as many media outlets as we can to advertise this stuff.
Thank you. Mr. Gazdecki?
Nothing to add.
Mr. Brodnick?
Nothing to add.
Mr. Whitaker?
Just one small comment. Two, actually. First one being...
you could have 33, really.
Huh? They wouldn't want me to have 33. First comment is just a true reflection of making sure that we're always improving as a group of commissioners and do our due diligence to Lake County, Northwest Indiana, the state of Indiana. And whether that's the additional information on the website or the media outlets, the economic development, you know, that can be beneficial for not just the folks that are bidding on the contracts, not just the folks who are residents of the community who don't have to suffer any longer with the flood insurance dilemma, but also for folks who are desirable to actually perform the work as well here in Northwest Indiana, and preferably, you know, those that are competent are contractors in Lake County. And then the second item is, I know one of our constituents here, she gets up very diligently, and there are folks from her area in Hammond that come diligently to make sure that those additional 22 folks, not 12, are removed from the floodplain. So that they don't have to purchase the flood insurance. And I'm hoping to become more diligent and do more in my effort to make sure if whatever could take place on my part to assist Dan and the Commission, Army Corps, because that's what we're here for, to make sure that can happen. Sure. And, you know, nothing short of a miracle probably seems as if it was what it's going to take, but I'm certainly willing to see and get more involved, because that's just something that has seemed like it's a recurrence, and I just feel like if there's something more that I can do, and maybe it is, but you know, it's one of those things that unless you really look further into a situation to find out what more can be done on your part, until you do, you don't really know. So I want to be intentional about that over the next few months. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Castellanos.
Well, just a few things. I just want to say that just on what Commissioner Lamont said about having media outlets, it's good to know that we're moving in a direction so that all of Northwest Indiana community can participate in all the things that this commission has to offer, and that's the protection of the people in their homes. Most important, though, I like the idea that we will be hopefully having meetings in Gary, Indiana, in Hammond, in East Chicago, as opposed to always having in Munster, so that everybody can get a chance from different communities to get here. The transportation is a big issue for Northwest Indiana. A lot of folks who would like to participate here don't have the proper transportation to get here. So I'm hoping that maybe sometime within the near future that we'll have meetings in some of the other municipalities besides Munster. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Now let's move on to the next item. How about Mr. Repay? Where are we?
I'm reading quickly.
Singing.
Yeah, you don't want that either.
Ooh.
I have the initial numbers, although I'm trying to read through, excuse me, for the pump station just to make sure that they're all comparing out, and that's why we're going to have to wait. But unofficially, the numbers are the following. Sweeney Electric was $294,000. Midwestern Electric was $312,450. And Higher Electric was $314,700. So, but I want to read through these proposals because there's quite a bit of paperwork and there's a lot of detail. So let me look through that. But that's the initial numbers right now. And the levee mowing, which we had two outfits that bid on it, C&H Mowing for $23,300 and Suburban Landscaping for $29,000. So those are pretty straightforward numbers. So in light of the fact that this will be growing soon, likely we'll be going with C&H. We asked for four. Last year we did five just because it was a little bit of extraordinary kind of season. But generally four so that we can make sure that it's, you know, we've asked for 3 inches we left on it. Man, the most we can have is over a foot. But
C&H did this last year for us. What was their claim for each mowing?
Was it 22? They raised it by 1,000.
Okay. Thank you.
Roughly. So that's all I have.
All right, so we're done with bids?
And we'll have bids, and we'll have an advisory board meeting in April, and you'll probably see, this board will see some applications formally here in the May meeting. We have a couple from Lake County Highway, we have one from Hammond, we have one from Crown Point, and I believe there is one from Griffith.
Okay.
So May meeting is going to be a lot, probably longer than this one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Next is the statements from the floor, my favorite part. Please address the commission, come up to the microphone, state your name and address for the man, and help us move this forward.
Please.
That was close to me.
Like a cat. Yes, sir.
Eric Sprenna, Highland resident, member of Northwest Indiana Paddling Association. I just wanted to reaffirm, I think last month I gave you guys a wrong date in the first go around, but then I emailed Dan the correct date.
Now, for what, sir?
For the West Branch of the Little Calumet River paddling event.
Okay.
Which will be on May 21st.
May 21st.
I've got some schedules here.
Okay.
I'd like to present to each commissioner with one. And members of the audience, too. I have extras if anybody wants one of those. What we're going to be doing is we're going to paddle the West Branch. We're going to be putting in, even though the schedule says Oxbow Park, since the sandbar project is done with a very nice ramp there, we're going to test it out.
Outstanding.
I have concerns in very low water conditions, but until we try it out, we're not going to know.
If you break it, you buy it.
I don't think that's anything that's breakable. I just want to see how much mud people are going to have on their feet.
Well, you haven't been there. It's all stone now.
Well, it's stone to a certain point. There's mud below that, but we'll see. What I do like is having a more gradual slope up to the top of the levee and down, which is wonderful. It's better than anywhere else along the project. I also like the big parking area, which is fine for big group events like we like to do periodically. Hopefully the commission will also consider building additional river access points along the project. I'd be happy to forward Mr. Ripe. Hopefully he will share it with you. There's a couple of published guides on how to build good river access sites that will be forthcoming. But thank you, and we appreciate the efforts, and would love to have you guys come and join.
Outstanding. Thank you. All right, get one of those, and then if you could put those on the table over there for the public, that would be great.
We'll do.
And the ramps are ADA compliant.
Good. This is a federal project. I would assume nothing less. Yes, ma'am. Wow.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Lori Salno, Forest Avenue in Hammond. Last month, Ms. Mills stated that the design for the tieback alterations would be in May. Do we have any word that 17 days from now?
Yes, the design's on schedule. We should have preliminary designs done by April 29th, and the rest of the schedule that we submitted will be adhered to.
Well, this evening I have a gift. You would please take this to Colonel Drew. That's the red tape we're tired of. There's the list of the 26 pieces of property.
There's the community.
Still paying flood insurance. There's a map in case he's unable to find them. There's my business card. I would suggest he reach out to each of those personally and apologize for a number of years worth of additional flood insurance. As I was looking for the map, I came across the Munster tieback and the Hammond tieback information. It's dated February of 2009. It talks about the alternatives. It does talk about the water bladder. Now, the blocks that are out there now start out about this high. The kids can't climb over them. What the heck does a water bladder look like that's 2.5 feet bigger than that? It's got to go up that high. It's got to go out that far. Bill, you always talk about the economic development. I believe that the number you use is $4 million a year.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we have 26 pieces of property, 22 that have homes on them, that are now paying between $1,800 and $3,000 a year each in flood insurance. Now, I know that's not $4 million, but if each of you think about what you'd like to do with your extra $3,000 a year, I'm sure you could find something. I'm sure there's something that needs to be painted or repaired or cleaned. You might take your family on vacation. It's unacceptable. It's completely unacceptable. I don't want to have to revert to this, but I will get my neighbors to put these in their yards. And I will get the newspaper to come out and look at them. Again, I know I'm beating a dead horse. The day I stop beating it, nobody's going to pay attention anymore. It's just not right. I appreciate everything the commission has done. Without the commission moving forward, without the Corps, okay, we would probably have 150 or 180 homes in my neighborhood, all still paying somewhere around $3,000. I do have concerns. The Corps doesn't seem to think those blocks are sufficient. Have my neighbors all been living with false security? I personally have the additional flood insurance. I would advise anybody to take it. It is a fraction. It goes from $3,000 a year to $250 a year. Well worth the price of a couple of dinners out. It's just unacceptable, and I'm going to continue to come back every month, and I'm going to stand here, and I'm going to complain. The day it's done, and the day those poor 22 homes come out of flood insurance, I'll host the party in front of my house. Thank you very much.
Thank you, lawyer. All right. You guys have been hearing this for a long time. Dan, we heard through this multiple times. So, real quick, just for everybody's edification, once we get through whatever challenges are currently on the table with the Army Corps of Engineers and it all meets everybody's, you know, box checking, how long will that process take to move through FEMA and whatever other governmental bodies necessary for these folks to see some relief on that?
To me?
Mm-hmm.
That's a better question for them.
All right.
I mean,
Mr. Padilla, welcome to the group. Why don't you come and help with that question, please?
Yes, sir. So my understanding is, before you can start the process to get a
list. Oh, just introduce yourself.
Mike Padilla. I'm a project manager with the Corps of Engineers in Chicago, and I'm assigned to work on this project while Miss Natalie Mills is on maternity leave.
Thank you. And she hasn't had her baby yet, has she?
She has. She did. I can't remember the date. It was a little girl.
Really? So yeah. They're both healthy?
They are.
Excellent.
Yes, everything. And I emailed a few people here, so I thought you guys all knew about it, but I'm sorry to mention that right off the bat. She's doing fine.
Thanks.
And I'm going to do my best to keep this project moving forward and doing the things that we need to do and do them such that when she comes back, everything will be on track. As far as the FEMA goes, what it comes down to is a levee has to be ready to fight a flood before it can be certified. And we know that the Hammond tiebacks, it's not in that state in terms of there still needs to be some construction done to get it to that point. Once that construction is done, the levee can fight a flood. We will take the steps to work with FEMA to get it out of the floodplain. We can start that process even before construction begins, and we are doing that, getting ready to certify those levees. We have a construction contract that will be awarded this summer that will do that construction. In the meantime, we will be looking at the things that go into the certification, the analyses, the O&M manual, and that sort of thing. One of the things that I'm not totally familiar with is the process with FEMA. My understanding is there are certain ways that they work. One is a letter of map revision, which is the shortest time frame of getting that an official letter that revises the map is done. Sometimes they elect though to actually do a map change, which takes longer. And I haven't been able to ascertain which path they will choose to take on this. And it's something again that I don't have a lot of experience with. And Bill, I'm not sure if you have anything to add to that, but that's basically the path forward.
Well, we would look for obviously the LOMAR, obviously, because it's quicker. But I mean, is it safe to assume that during your tenure here with us that there might be a possibility the construction component of what needs to be done along state line can be completed?
So
started.
It will be.
I'm going with completed.
It will be. I think that in my tenure, probably not, because Natalie's not going to be gone that long. But I think what I'm shooting for is to adhere to the schedule to get it awarded. The contractor will start after notice proceed. They will do as much work as possible. I'm still trying to find if all of the work can be done before the weather changes in the wintertime. It may not be possible to get all the components of construction done before wintertime based on the award date of the contract. We're going to continue to work our part of the process of getting the documents together for that certification. And then again, at that point, it's FEMA's process. I would focus on getting the contract awarded according to the schedule, getting a good contractor as part of that, and getting the work expedited in the field to get it done. There's a lot of different factors that go into whether or not they can get all of the construction done before winter. And I'm frankly not prepared to say that can be done. Still looking at it, and I think by
probably next meeting we could have a better schedule with more detailed activities of each and duration of each activity, so we can kind of do an analysis of what does he have to do potentially in the springtime also.
What's the high level schedule today, not construction schedule, but overall project schedule? So you said 429 design complete.
Design complete.
Is that 100% complete and checked?
That is a preliminary design where then we do some in-house technical review of people that didn't do the design. We also get you folks involved. You know, the sponsor.
And when you say preliminary, does that mean, is that like, you know, a lot of engineering firms have whatever percent? Is that?
Yeah, I would say it's like a 65 to 75%. And once the internal reviews are done, then that's 100%. The main thing is that award date, I think, is what we're really shooting for,
right.
which is basically after being on the street for, you know, 30 days plus a week or so of evaluating bids or that sort of thing.
And do you have off the top of your head kind of when that time frame is for the award?
The award is August. Okay. We're shooting for the August award. And again,
August 1st or August 31st?
I believe the current is August 19th, I believe.
Okay.
And it's a milestone so that we have people all the way up the chain, including the general, keeping an eye on those milestones. Again, whether or not all of the construction can be done before wintertime, that's in question. That's something that I'm investigating personally so that I can report back to you with a little bit more confidence, and I can do that next month.
And I can't remember on this one how it's set up. Once it's awarded, who's managing the contractor? Is it you guys or us?
So no, it's us. It's us. Yeah, that's okay. We the contractor obviously has his own quality control, but we have quality assurance and
right.
Yeah, we have the Calumet office personnel, construction management personnel.
And then the other question I had was regarding the FEMA process, the LOMAR or the MAP change. Does FEMA dictate that? Do they decide?
They decide, and my understanding is that the bigger of the changes, the more, you know, that you might do an entire map revision. Hopefully these changes aren't so big that it couldn't just be done with that letter. That's a little bit out of my purview and their process. But we have proposed, working with Joe Tyler, we have proposed to have a meeting with FEMA in the near term here, and so that we can start to broach those subjects and get a feel for how they want this to proceed.
And maybe I'll throw you into this too, Bill. Does the Corps have any sort of influence with FEMA to say whether or not you recommend they go with a LOMAR or a MAP change?
It really is FEMA's process, so they are in charge of it. We have our own process in terms of how we need to submit things to FEMA, so we need to prepare a report ourselves, have that validated internally, signed off by our district levy safety officer, and then once that's done, then we can make that submission to FEMA.
So it's pretty much over the wall, and then they decide?
Pretty much. Okay. That's why we want to reach out to them as soon as possible and start getting the groundwork laid out so we can make that sure that happens as soon as possible after construction's done. So people can get relief from the flood insurance.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
So hopefully it's incorporating some of the flood control measures we've already put in place, and it's not a complete redesign. Wow, that's it. I like it. Next meeting is for May 11th. I'll entertain a motion to move on.
So moved.
Second.
And second, thanks for coming out, everybody. See you next month. Happy spring.
David.